Hello and welcome back to another episode of Boys Gone Wild. We're joined here today with Tom Felton.
Sorry, he's a bit shy. Just
your ray of sunshine, nothing but a pair of wings on my back. And I'm just a boy on a skateboard with two patches on my kneecaps.
Okay, so thoughts, feelings, comments. Did I send that to you first? Is that the first time you heard it when I sent it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything that bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, because often, you know, who could we compare him to? What's his face? Damien thingy, who's become a folk singer.
Damien Lewis.
Lewis, who's now like an actor who, because of his notoriety, because of his notoriety, is able to do music.
Yes.
Like, but you know, Damien could sing.
Well, I think actors doing music probably is where you get into that, you get into the realm of potentially the worst kind of music. It's that disregard.
But Damien can sing.
Sure.
And there's something in his lyrics. I've never heard anything worse than that. And it's like, it's music that would never get off any, like get anywhere. It's just because he was in Harry Potter.
What if Tom's listening?
I don't really care.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to be that rude to Tom Felton?
I don't really care. It's the worst thing I've ever heard. It's like, I've never heard anything so riddled with cliches while saying nothing at all and being boring. It's like he's using cliches awfully to say nothing.
Yeah.
The guy can't sing.
No.
And it's one of my pet peeves is when singers act during a song.
Mm.
And he's like, there's kind of like a laugh. And you can hear his eyebrows go up at one point.
Yeah.
And that's infuriating to me. Just sing the song.
Well, it's very like, it was a terrible song 12 years ago, but at least it was in vogue 12 years ago, is this sort of stuff. It feels so out of the zeitgeist, this sort of...
What, you think you should drop a hip-hop album?
Yeah. Well, no, I just mean that was, it's so like... It sounds very millennial, that type of...
James Morrison.
Yeah, that kind of music. It's kind
of... Singer-songwriter.
It's around that sort of
Well, that's
of
kind of coming back in a way.
Well, maybe Felton's at the bridge of that wave coming through.
Yeah.
The song is called Holding On or
Holding
Out?
Holding On, but there's a lot of back, so it's easy to confuse that.
But did you see...
Does it for the whole EP?
No, for in the word holding, he's... capitalized
does it for the whole EP
LD
does
really?
It for the whole EP
what so every other song
every other no every no every other word in every song is capitalized in this EP. He's got more than one. Latest release is Orange, which has it's only got two songs in it. When he did Red as well, which oddly Red the single contains two songs called Fairies and Feathers and Take Me Away. The Red is part capitalized, but none of the other things are part capitalized. In Orange, the Orange is part capitalized, and then Holding On and In My Arms are part. There's no rhyme or reason to
it. Well, so Holding On to the old was the message he's trying to get across.
He's right? old.
Well, it's more about getting old to
no,
get
I think
is
it's,
that
it's,
aging
it's
old.
A, for me, it was a love story that didn't work.
So, what was that first lyric?
Let's dive into it. Let's get back. Holding On, Tom Felton. But Tom Felton plays Draco Malfoy in Harry Potter, if anyone didn't realise.
Yeah, which really takes away from the character, I feel, of Draco Malfoy.
Well, at the end, he'd be going, you know,
I guess
you know when he's walking off with like his mum and dad, I kind of imagine him. Yeah. This is him in like, I don't know, The Bard and Beggar. Just there with a magical guitar and going, Parodies on my back.
Yeah.
I hate, like, my least favourite lyric is how he describes knee pads.
What does he say?
Like it's something profound. He's trying to make knee pads profound.
You're a ray of sunshine, nothing but a pair of wings on my back.
Nice.
Mm. So he's talking about a girl, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I'm just a boy on a skateboard.
Ready?
With two patches on my kneecaps.
No, you're not saying anything. He's found a rhyme. He's like, oh yeah, you do wear knee pads when you wear.
Well, okay. It's a quirky detail. It didn't really work. It's
two patches on my kneecaps. Why are you just? I hate. It's just like to force a rhyme. He's described knee pads as two patches on his kneecaps. It's a lot. And then it's like this. And then the cliched. The brightest stars burn the quickest or something. Burn the fastest. And then it doesn't work. It could be about Emma. Remember, have you heard about their, like, they had a thing?
A fling?
Yeah, they had a thing. They both, like, loved each other during the filming of it. Oh. But it was, like, on the verge of, you know, romantic. I think they've been coy about it.
I want to hear Hagrid's side of the story. Yeah. I want to hear his EP.
You want to hear Hagrid's side of the story about Tom Felton and Emma, what's her name? Watson.
Emma Watson.
Thompson? Thompson. Yeah. Emma Watson.
Yeah. I think.
What do you think they should always get here?
I think you're giving an interesting side to the story, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff we get on this podcast now is bit stuff that I've sent to Andrew on TikTok or vice versa. Can we talk about the podcast clip?
We can do the podcast clip.
Yeah.
It's one of the most startling things I've ever seen in my life.
So we tried not to talk about excrement. So I sent Andrew this clip, but you sent it to me.
Yeah.
I think we both sent it to each other, but neither of us watched it.
Really?
When we sent it to each other, yeah. So there's this podcast clip going around, which is one of the most, it's up there with a Hall of Famer.
It's the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Things I've seen on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I guess it's in that genre of podcasts where you have never seen that podcast before. You've never seen any member of that podcast. You don't know what world that's in. But something's,
it's definitely not a podcast aimed at us.
No. Something's broken free normally with these clips where you're like, I don't know any of these people, but
a moment of pure magic. Of like ancient magic that has permeated onto the surface. I don't know what they usually talk about, but this is like a divine intervention. Yeah.
So the conversation, I don't know how it got there, but you come straight in with him talking about when he takes a shit, the gentleman who, how old do you want to say this guy is? It's hard to tell.
35.
He's in such good shape, you don't know. He could be like 22.
He could be, yeah.
But I feel he's 35, right? This 35-year-old gentleman talks about how he shit.
But they weren't so, because it came out, because no one would have a conversation just like, that's not a podcast topic. How do you shit?
Well, it is on this podcast.
It is a bit. Sometimes. But you know, because there's... there might be a debate between whether you stand or sit for wiping your bum. Yep. There's not just like, how do you go for a shit, right? Yeah. So he comes in, he's clearly just discussing something about shitting.
Yeah.
And then he brings... And then it's something like... Yeah, and then... So obviously, like when you got the toilet paper around your hand and then like you wrap it around and you got to do that. And I think they're like, why are you wrapping it round? I was like, well, because I don't want to get like loads of shit on my hands. I was like, but you just like, just hold it there. She's just like, and then he's like, it basically comes out that this man, every time he's gone for a shit, he's got toilet paper in his hand and he's put it in the toilet and then catches the shit before it hits the toilet. And it's one of the most magical, because like that sounds so insane.
Yeah.
But look up this clip.
Yeah.
Because for the entirety of the time, he's like, he's going like, no, you guys,
this is the first time he's ever heard of another different way of doing it. He genuinely can't believe it.
He's going, and you guys are fucking with me.
Yeah, and you see the numbers sort of crunching in his head a little bit, because everyone is acting like that's incredible.
Everyone is, what the fuck, is that amazed face? I mean, I couldn't imagine if you revealed something like that on this podcast.
Yeah, and then his sort of defense was he thought it was absolutely disgusting, the idea of shitting into the bowl.
Now, why?
To him, that's like...
So, he's got such a politeness towards the toilet bowl. It's like, it's just water that's going in the sewer.
He respects
the toilet water more than he respects his own hand. Just let it go straight down, you creep. So,
but then I guess his defense is he washes his hand.
So, we flush the toilet. It doesn't make any sense. There's more reverence for the toilet bowl than there is for his hand. Like, it doesn't make any sense. There's no way near sense anywhere.
And I mean, it is disgusting to talk about, but it is so fascinating that it kind of transcends it. The female podcast host asks, basically, what happens if you have diarrhea?
Yeah, oh God, yeah.
And he says, well, I wash my hands.
What do you mean? He was like, well, I wash my hands. It was like, would you... Can you imagine, like, I'd love to find a full episode.
I'd love to see him do it.
Well.
No, I just want to see... I want to see his routine.
It's just unnecessary. I hate that I'm saying this early on, but toilet habits are often, you know, surely they come from the parents.
Yeah,
that
they have to be.
That guy
it feels
is
like he raised
not.
Himself.
Exactly. So that's
was he raised in the forest?
We can't make presumptions, but I don't. That guy, that guy's parents have to have taught him to do that. You don't wake up one day and start deciding to do that, do you? Which implies that his parents' parents told them to do that. Yeah. Which implies that there's this really long line of people. No idea how they haven't been wiped out evolutionarily.
Well, do you think there was someone... Yeah. Do you think there maybe there was someone who in their life changed method?
Like a mystic?
Well, yeah. More of a maverick. A sort of
maverick.
Yeah, a sort of hermit type figure. Well, someone who used to shit the way that everyone else does.
Yeah, and he went, hold on.
We're not
respecting the toilet enough. Yeah.
And then he raised his kids and that's... But the toilets, I guess, haven't been around that long. That's like 150 years, maybe.
This guy's been around when he's grown up with a toilet. Yeah, that's not an excuse for him.
I mean, how many generations of his family will be doing this? Do you know what I mean?
But when were toilets invented?
Well, when was toilet paper? Actually,
we've talked about when toilets were invented.
I think they were late 1800s in Scotland.
Okay, so what's that?
Like 1870, I think.
That's what, six, seven?
Yeah, about 200 years.
Six, seven generations of people doing that, which isn't crazy. But so it was just like one guy misunderstood when the toilet was created, and now this guy has to reveal it on the podcast.
Is there any chance that his parents don't shit like that?
Now, how would that work? I'm all ears.
Well, you know, like an autodidact. Do you know what that is?
No.
Autodidact is someone who has taught themselves. It's when you teach yourself. So if like you're,
that's a term. It's common enough for a term.
Yeah, like an autodidact means that you just read loads of books and you know that's why you know about.
Oh, so it's not specific to shitting.
No.
Okay. I my dad never taught me how to shave, so I'm an autodidact.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. I taught myself how to shave. So I never had that moment. Did you have a moment where your dad taught you?
Yeah. We took a photo. It was a big deal. Yeah. I was 14, but with you it came late, right?
What?
The shave, that first moment.
No, I've had the moustache for a bit.
But then you also have you take a lot of pain out while you're shaving. So it feels like you should have been taught how to shave.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't got very healthy shaving habits.
it's similar to
my dad,
Well, maybe it was that's him with the shitting habits.
Yeah.
It could have been a very similar thing.
Yeah, I think one's a bit more self-destructive than the other. Well, but go on, diadact.
You don't know. You wonder if maybe when he started wiping his own ass or when it moved on to that,
his parents went around.
It's just more that they'd kind of let him to it. And there was just sort of like, they were taking care of it.
Yeah.
And
then he Timmy's was taking... big enough nowadays, he can handle it. Look what you've done.
Yeah, and how it has... I think it's just more how it hasn't come out at any point. Just how many situations you'd be
and
in.
And that it came out on a podcast. Yeah. It's really unfortunate for the guy. Because that podcast isn't really going to go anywhere, is it? That's just going to be it forever. But...
What do you think this? Why is this guy on a podcast? What's your thoughts? What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know what we're on a podcast.
We're
I guess.
On a podcast, yeah.
I guess everyone's on a podcast, but who are those people? Who were they? Who's this guy? Is he? What's he on there for? Is he a comedian?
He's the host.
Is he a presenter? Does he?
I couldn't tell you.
But because
it's very hard to judge this podcast when the only information we have is one of the hosts catches the shit before he goes to the toilet. I have no idea what this fucking podcast is about.
I'm gonna look into it and see if there's more clips.
I would like to watch it.
I've only seen one clip of this podcast, and it's the greatest podcast
it's
I've ever
seen. It could be the best podcast. It could be this one guy is just like a fucking mental genius. It could be a bit like Carl Pilkington, but this is just normal shit.
I wonder how he pisses. Do you think he pisses over his shoulder?
So he catches it in a cup and then slowly, like one of those things that fills up, and then
he catches it in his hand.
Yeah. And then just, there you go.
Yeah, but I never thought about it as respectful to the toilet.
Surely that's it. What else could it be? I mean, I'm exaggerating.
Splash.
You think he's going through all that. So one day he sat down. Yeah. Well, was it diaduct?
Autodidact.
Autodidact.
Is he an autodidact?
Is he an autodidact?
Yeah.
How I can't remember being toilet trained. Sue me.
Yeah.
When, what age is that kicking in? When are you starting doing your own business? So I don't think you can be an also diadact pooer.
Well, you could be. If you were a child out in the forest, you'd find a way.
Look.
Yeah.
You keep doing this forest child theory. I don't think he's...
Well, what about the first person?
The first person? Well, I believe the generational...
No, but the first person ever.
To what?
To have a shit. He worked it out.
So...
So, because you can't...
Well, no. To toilet training is very different to going for a poo. Everyone, that's been... Is that your... It's not the first... There wasn't one... It's not like the invention of butter. It's not like this one guy just went for a shit. It's been going on since fishes.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if, like, I don't know if, like,
it's
toilet
been going
training
on since Fishers. You could quote me on that. Pooing's been going on since Fishers.
I don't know if there was, like, who was the first person to be toilet trained? Was it?
Well, it's pretty soon after the toilet was invented. Well,
but then, was it a council of people who
they brought a few in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to get the ball rolling.
Well, no, it's like when you first, like, when the microwave was rolled out. They went, this is how you use it. The manual came with it.
I see. So then professionals who are behind the invention will probably have a lot of, will know how to use it the best. And then they'll
I'm sure there would
seminars.
Have been, you never know. They built it. They might have been like, I don't know. But I think it's pretty obvious.
They probably had testing labs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Like Boston Dynamics, you know, the robot company where they got all the different.
The wind tunnel. But what are you testing?
It's just testing.
No, the thing is because
we're just testing in different elements.
The great thing about the toilet, much like the knife and fork, is it's pretty intuitive. It's pretty fucking intuitive. It's
like the idea
toilet
of,
there, flush away, done.
I do like the idea of just like loads of Scottish people in the 1800s testing, wiping their ass in different like environments, different elements. You've got the wind tunnel,
you've
got
underwater. The problem is like wiping ass has some variation. Catching the shit before it hits the toilet has nothing. It's honestly like...
What do you mean no variation? What you mean is...
The stand and the sit.
Yeah.
The halved, the scrunch. Loads of people do different things.
You could be standing.
Well, that's a question we need to address in a moment. But
because you could have
teaching someone have to his... not catch the shit before it hits the toilet is like teaching someone how to use a spoon.
Because what if he was standing...
You don't need to do it.
And his head was between his knees.
Right. Are you trying to find a situation in which it's necessary for him to catch it?
Well, I just
how about if he's not near a toilet? That's one situation. Do you want to use that one? Yeah, so whenever I need it, I'll just go and catch it. And then, what happens when you have diarrhea? Well, I don't want to poo on the sofa.
I guess also what I found interesting was that it really puts a lot of faith in washing your hands.
Yeah.
Which I've always thought about is when you're tidying up something. I don't know if you're clearing up sick or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
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 It is always you can wash your hands, but it's almost like I guess your hands could sort of be as dirty
as the sick.
Well, it could be as dirty as anything if you can wash your hands. But then I'm like, is there some dirt you can't wash? Do you know what I mean?
Well, no.
No. So technically, technically your hand.
Well,
as long
soap
as you,
is a marvelous invention.
Yeah, as long as you've got soap and hot water,
you can do anything.
You can do anything. It
the potential
really
in these puppies is astonishing. We've been wasting our lives.
Yeah, but I guess you'd had to wash it for a while.
It depends.
Yeah.
So well,
I'm glad I spoke to you. You did start that like an expert on the matter.
Soap correspondent.
Well, it depends.
Well, no, I'm going off because I've had a similar thought.
Yeah.
And maybe I put too much trust.
It changes your concept of what hands are, do you not think, when you think about the...
Sticking them in
well,
vomit.
Just no, it's more like the... If you can wash them clean from any situation, it sort of changes what these are.
Yeah, they're never truly dirty.
They can never truly... Well, they're never too far gone.
They can always be salvaged.
Yeah, that's it.
It's an interesting question.
I genuinely had that thought where it changed my view of
But then
hands.
I thought that. I did think that because I'm like, obviously, you know, some bacteria is bacteria. That's the key here, isn't it? Bacteria. Bacterium.
Well, yeah.
Because it's on the box. It's like, you know, this kills 99.9% of bacteria.
Was this on the toilet box?
What?
Was this on the box that's telling you how to use
the
toilet?
No, the soap, you mean. Okay, was that genuine?
No.
Okay, fine. I'm really like, well, you
I'd love to just
get a problem. It kills. Anyway, so it says kills 99.9% of bacteria. We all know what they're saying there. They're killing 100% of bacteria. They just legally can't say that. It's like when I had some cheese down there that's called cheesy slices because they legally can't call it cheese. It's the same thing, but opposites.
Why can't they call it cheese?
Because it ain't fucking cheese, technically.
Well, it is.
Because something will qualify as... Well, what goes into my cheesy slice, I ask?
Oh, because the actual makeup of the cheese.
The matter... Fine. Like when you have coffee drink.
Fine. I thought you were implying that because it was in slice form, that changes
that's
the...
That's cheese!
That's a cheesy slice!
I ordered cheese! That's sliced!
This is a cheesy slice!
This is cheese, but it's all broken up! Cool. So it's like that with the 99.9% of bacteria. But I had thought...
But is it? Because I think it might be because we need some bacteria.
Well, no. Now you're talking about like gut bacteria.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're like 100% killing bacteria maybe is a bad thing.
No. Not when you're washing your hands. No. Unless you drink it.
I guess so.
Yeah. No, they
no. So that's just
they
illegal.
Can't say 100%.
And is that why 1 in 7, 6 out of 7 dentists recommend this toothpaste? Is that the similar sort of vibe?
It's a similar vibe, but no.
Because that would have been true of dentists.
Because they would have done it so that they would have done a fakeish study, but that was just about scientific enough to get the most people to recommend it.
Well, I guess.
And then they wouldn't have got all the one per dentist would have said no, and they would have done the best numbers that suit that.
Do you think that's actually how that would go down?
What do you think?
Well, I think if it's like a fake twisted survey, I think they could probably get 100% if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But well, I think 100% of dentists recommend this toothpaste.
Yeah, that's...
You start being like, you're full of shit. On.
Yeah. Well, you can't say 100% of dentists because that implies the entire population of dentists will do that.
Or 7 out of 7 dentists recommend this. You can't say that. You have to...
You can say 7 out of 7 dentists did recommend
it. I just feel these are some of the least accurate polls out there polls. So it's more like they've worked out the optimum amount of dentists to make you want to buy toothpaste.
They've got to have something in there.
But I mean, they could have 990 dentists out of 991 dentists. Like, they've worked out what is the optimum, and it's a cast aspersion. So you're like, well, it's obviously a real poll because they would have said 100% if it was fake.
So therefore, that makes you feel real.
I'd love to actually dig into some of that polling data. I'd love to see.
My theory that I don't hear a lot is that I think most dentists don't care about the recommendation of toothpaste. Do you know what I mean? Because if it's toothpaste, it's toothpaste. How many times have you gone to a dentist and they'll be like, you've got to use Colgate or you've got to use Oral-B? They'll be like, just brush your teeth.
But then I imagine, is it sort of a union of dentists or like you're part of the guild? The Dentist Guild.
Yes,
and then do you
the
get
the GCR? And then... I meant DCR. There was no D in that one. The GCR, no idea what that stands for.
Great crowns.
Great crown removal.
Yeah.
You don't remove crowns, do you?
No.
Cavity removal.
But do then everyone who's part of the Dentistry Guild, do they get sent round like a questionnaire type thing? And then some of them like can't be asked and then you're ticking yes or no. What is the question? Would you recommend this?
Would you recommend Oral-B to your patients?
Yeah.
How likely would it be to recommend Oral-B to your patients? I think they'd ask a few questions.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'd give them a sample.
Another stat, another poll in Bali. We talked about this before, but it was... I think it was moisturizer. And it was the stat was 99% instant moist.
It's not a stat. I think the advertising in Bali might be a bit less regulated as well.
No, definitely not.
99% instant moisture. For me, that's a shower.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't think you can achieve 99% instant moisture without being sodden. You can't just put some cream on and then you just suddenly your pores start pouring water. No, that's not
fair. I guess they're covering their backs though. Because 100% instant moist.
And they'll be like, well, what does that even mean? They'll be like, fair enough.
But then if you're like...
If you bought it for 99% instant moisture, you're going to be disappointed because that doesn't exist.
Or if you then sue them... If you sued them and said, well, I put it on and I didn't get instantly moist, they'd be like, well, that's the 1%.
There you go.
And you'd sort of be... you're the only one who's going to be complaining about it. And I'd be like, well, you're... Unluckily...
You'd have to group together other users of it and create a class action lawsuit because you'd work out that, you know, across 100 of it, you'd have to have enough for it to be significant. But if it was 100, they'll be like, yeah, but we sell to 1 billion. So you're all the 1%. So you've got to find like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
I'm presuming the sales were high, just hypothetically.
I don't know.
If it's 1 billion, what's 1% of 1 billion? Didn't we discuss last week about how 1 billion changes from country to country? What is it, 1,000? That sounds right to
10,000 10,000 probably. I'm just going to chuck it. No, we do not need to know that.
What's 1%
of 1 billion? We do not need to. That is not. Go into the phone. It should be used for
10 important. 10 million?
You just sounded like a hobbit right there.
What's 1% of 1 billion? It keeps coming up the same thing.
You sounded like a hobbit who was upset that like a neighbour had moved in.
No turnips.
10 million?
10 million in my town. That doesn't sound right. 10 million? Could be.
This is not the point.
If they sold a... Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the point.
No, the point is how are we going to do a class action lawsuit against these people?
That's exactly the point because we need... But if they sell a billion sales. Okay, they sold 1 million. That's probably realistic.
You think they sold less, but go on.
What's
we'll
1%
say
of 1 million? Fuck's sake. What's 1% of 1 million?
100,000.
Wait for Siri. They don't have an answer. Is that right?
100,000, yeah.
Is that 1%?
We do times not need that by 100.
Is 100,000 times 100,000 1 million? That doesn't sound right at all. No. I think it's 1,000.
No, it'd be 100,000 times 100 because it's 1%.
Yeah. Oh, God, this is...
You're funny. Actually being thick. This you is occasionally are thick on maths. You know that.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I think percentages you actually struggle with. You really struggle with percentages.
100,000 times 100 is 10 million. You're wrong. It's 10,000. 10,000 times 100, a million.
So it's 10,000. So it's 10,000.
Thick. It's 10,000. So yeah. To make it relevant, we need 10,001 people in this class action lawsuit, because then we can prove that more than 1% haven't experienced instant moisture. If the sales were 100, we'd need two or three.
But I guess maybe I haven't used the product.
Well, then we're fucked.
Do you know what I mean? It can't.
But then what does instant moisture look like for you?
Well, I guess you put it on
you know
your...
Is it Madonna when she went like that?
Well, I guess actually instant moist... It probably is Madonna. Instant moist. Because I guess, arguably, if it's instant moist, you instantly have moisturizer on.
I think that would be the defense's argument. It's certainly, I think, a key part of this case is the definition of instant moist.
Yeah.
If we can define instant moist, then we'll have a strong chance.
Well, yeah, you put it on and immediately...
Like, you put it on, you're moist. Look, and then be like,
yeah, put it on immediately, you have moisturizer on.
Yeah, well, you've like, you know, if once you, when you put moisturizer on, you're a bit moist.
I want to hear, you got two gripes this week.
Yeah, well, my first gripe is that... On the anniversary of my nan's death, one of my cousins changes his profile picture to a picture of her.
Sorry.
So every now and again, I then am startled when I'm scrolling down Facebook because it looks like she's posting and that she's working at the Mid-Sussex Golf Club as a gardener. For just the slightest of second, I'll just go, oh, yeah. I think it's and he's also got this like massive tattoo of her on his arm, and it's like,
was he? But I feel like you were one of the favourites, right?
Yeah, no? not the highest.
No,
because I wasn't.
How much older is this cousin than you?
Fuck knows. Call it 8 years.
So he took it hard. The death of your nan.
Yeah. He posts like a poem every year.
Original.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, no, I think he posted the same one.
Fine.
No. I mean, yeah.
So how long a period does he pretend to be your nan on Facebook for?
No, he doesn't necessarily pretend. He isn't going, like, messaging me like, hi, Andrew, it's your grandma. That would be vastly traumatising.
No, that is actually quite terrifying. No, it's because... To see your nan's face on there,
and
mouthing
it's like,
off.
Exactly. And, yeah, just being like, the price of nuggets is...
Well, on the same day, he's put a poem.
But I'll miss the poem.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, you don't... And then suddenly it's like, yeah. Because it's... No, the problem is he keeps it like a week, 2 weeks later.
Yeah. What's going on there?
Because 2 weeks later... And then, so then, you know, the anniversary's passed. The moments I thought about it, etc. Then 2 weeks later, he'll randomly post about gardening. And that's when the split second thing will be like, oh, Nanny... What? And then, you know, then it goes.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right tribute for her. I don't know if a profile picture change is actually...
I've always said.
Well, I guess you'd change your profile to Palestine to raise awareness.
Well, you do the flag. But I've always said this about stuff like this. It's a big Facebook thing particularly.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen anywhere else. It's like, when is the appropriate time to take it off?
Yeah, because it's when do you stop giving a fuck?
That's kind of it. So loads of people do it for when someone dies or when...
Well, you take it off when you just don't care anymore. Don't love her anymore.
So when your mum's died and you've changed it to your mum, what's the appropriate time to take it off?
Turn it back to the Lamborghini Gallardo.
Exactly, with the British flag kind of laced underneath. But my argument was maybe don't pay tribute to them via your Facebook profile picture.
Well, what about, as opposed to him changing it to a picture of his nan, instead it's sort of like... you know, the France filter, where it's sort of like, it's like a faded watermark.
But it's just Mary Kirwan, slightly. Yeah. He'd honestly do that.
Yeah, because that's maybe better.
Isn't that tasteful, it is.
So I guess I would probably get a faded photo of your nan over a picture of me if I was him.
And I think she'd like that.
Because
I think she'd appreciate that.
Everyone know it's me, but it's more of a... And then you can click on it and you can get your own thing and then you can start a thing.
Yeah.
And it sort of raises awareness.
Yeah, and then it's... Well, didn't you... Wasn't... Because it was like when the France terrorist stuff
happened.
Which
is funny to get the France The France filter back, I think it's funny.
That's really good, actually.
I might do that
on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no consequences. It really doesn't matter.
Facebook's the app.
Maybe even bring it on Instagram. That's quite
funny. It's amazing. Facebook, it feels like... Do you know in Children of Men, when they're like floating away from the island at the end?
Yes.
And then they're looking back and they kind of... The UK's become an apocalypse.
Is
where
that
no
Instagram?
One can have kids.
Is that
no,
like,
no, yeah, well, we're moving.
We're leaving. Younger generation have left.
Yeah, and looking back, the end of Children and Men were in that immigration camp and stuff. And they're trying
to escape.
That's Facebook.
Yeah, that's Facebook.
And she's the only one who can give birth. And so she's going to Instagram.
Yeah,
she's going
Instagram,
to a place for young people.
Snapchat and Twitter.
Well, anything that's not Facebook. I often feel like that's just fading away because it's the most active social media in the world, which when you think about it.
Because of the age.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Facebook because they are kind of fucked just because they kind of like did it first. So then everyone's all of the older generation are going to pile onto that and they're not going to bother learning another one, which is fair.
You feel bad for Facebook?
Not Mark Zuckerberg. I feel bad for the app.
Okay.
Like, not like the app. I'm like, oh, like the little, oh, the so icon. I feel, oh.
Yeah, because Mark Zuckerberg obviously owns
it's
Instagram.
It's not his fault.
Instagram.
I know, exactly, but I feel bad for Facebook, the app.
Okay.
I'm like, aw.
So like that logo.
That logo. Aw.
Because I guess within that world,
it was like, just because I started.
He was the original G.
It was the original G. Another thing that's fun to do with Facebook is mark yourself safe from events that have nothing to do with you or that happen on the other side
it's
of the world.
Funniest thing ever.
It's quite
it's the funniest
safe.
Thing ever.
How do you cover mark yourself safe during the Japanese tornado? A close one. We really got busy there.
It's the same kind of people. It's the same kind of people who say they've got long COVID. It's
yeah. Well, no, I mean like me doing it. Like genuinely, yeah. Yeah, long COVID, crikey.
No, I do think it's good to go back on Facebook occasionally because it's more like, I guess it's sort of like when you have, I don't know, like an ant farm or something, or like when you go back and check on it.
Right.
And it's like it's growing.
Like a terrarium.
It's like a terrarium, but it's like, I guess because you feel safe.
Well, ants are far more organized effective.
Yeah.
I think a terrarium gives like, you know, the spiders are eating each other.
Well, it's sort of like, it's morphing and mutating and getting weirder and stranger.
Your cousin's got a bigger tattoo of your nan.
It's always just this hell
script. He's written a poem again.
Also, the
but
suggested
just
for you.
His forklift driving exam.
Has he?
No.
No.
No, he's the gardener. He's the iconic cousin I have.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Suggested for you on Facebook is always incredible.
Yeah.
That's the middle aisle of Lidl, basically, where it's like, it's got the worst user algorithm of any algorithm there is, potentially.
I shop at Lidl. So what do you mean?
I mean, the middle aisle of Lidl is just any old shit, right?
Right, it's okay. Do you mean what's on offer in the shop? Or do you mean the clientele?
The middle aisle of Lidl.
What does that mean?
You know the middle aisle of Lidl?
No.
So the middle aisle of Lidl, they just have miscellaneous stuff at random.
Oh, like pots and pans and things.
Fishing nets.
Yeah, got you. Now I get
the
reference.
And that is when you scroll through Facebook, suggested for you, I'm getting a Zambian radio memes about a specific town
overtly,
in Zambia.
Yeah, overtly staged like interactions between passengers and airline hostesses. I've seen a lot of those.
Suggested for you.
For me. It was like, Andrew, give us a minute, because I think you might be interested in this overtly staged classroom where the father comes back from the war and pretends to see his daughter, but then his wife's cheating on him. Have you seen those ones? The ones that get 20,000 million views.
Yeah, which is like, so obviously, which I did mea culpa. I did apologize for calling all people who watch YouTube Shorts thick because actually,
it's actually
the backbone of our audience, and they're not as thick as I thought they were.
Yeah,
these people are the thickest people in the world, I reckon.
People who go on Facebook for videos.
Well, it's more like those crazy staged, like prank Facebook videos.
It's like the camera's set up
and it's
in
a
tripod.
Porny as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's so porny. It's so porny.
300 million views.
And it's like the camera's set up in the corner of this room. And then this guy in a clearly like knockoff military uniform, costs like £5, comes into frame with like a cardboard sign being like, I'm going to surprise my wife. And then she comes.
And he's going like this.
And then she comes in and she's cheating on him. And he stands there with the sign. The video is 9 minutes long. He'll stand there with the sign and then be like, wagging his finger, being like, good. It was like, well, how is anyone watching this? And you look at it and it's got 100 million views.
For some reason, I feel like people in the Amazon are watching that. Like, it's like, It's so big, these videos, that they kind of like permeate.
They permeate borders.
They permeate technology.
Yeah.
I imagine there's like an Amazonian tribe, and they've got like an old TV with an antenna that they bash, and occasionally they get service, and like that's what comes in somehow.
But they don't even. Yeah, and then it's just that music, like the because they don't.
But I don't know if everyone has different ones, because like I also, or my suggestion for you, for some reason, the biggest one is council estate cuisine.
Oh, so like, what's that called?
It's just like nostalgia for like turkey dinosaurs, baked beans,
potato smileys.
Yeah. Oh, and then it's like dinosaurs. It's like it's all just like fish fingers, chips, stuff like that. Those, and it'll be like a picture of it on a calendar. It won't even look. It'll look very realistic, and it'll be like, oh, do you remember these growing up? And then everyone in the comments saying, yeah, a lot of it's nostalgia. That's a huge part of Facebook. Yeah. But then it's always suggested for me.
And do you think you have a certain affinity towards baked beans and potato smileys?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I do. I eat a lot of that stuff, so I guess so. But it just feels weird that they're really ramming it down my throat.
When was the last time you had a turkey dinosaur?
I'd never had a turkey dinosaur. Right.
Well, what are you eating out of that? Just out of your beans?
I'm eating beans. I'm eating fish and chips.
Do you eat beans a lot?
I'll tell you when.
I eat more beans than you, just out of interest. I'm sometimes two beans a week, often two beans.
No,
a week.
You definitely eat more beans than me.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Just to check.
I think it's more
that
like...
That wasn't a brag.
No, I wasn't. No, I was interested. Everyone was interested.
So there it is.
I don't feel strongly either way.
Someone said this is the most English podcast, and I hope that they mentioned beans, and then 5 minutes in, beans.
What I find is when you go to British, proper British food, and what I mean by that is like proper British food that people actually eat. You know,
potatoes and
it's like fish and chips, beans. It's when we don't have any food in, and you can only go to the office,
right? Frozen stuff,
basically.
Yeah.
That's when you eat what everyone normally eats. That's when you eat the most consistent meals that everyone else eats as well.
Yeah,
is
that the most common thing?
I'd say,
yeah, maybe
the most common meal that I eat that is shared, maybe apart from a ham and cheese sandwich, is fish fingers, peas, and baked beans and chips. That's what people actually eat.
I don't like fish fingers,
do you not?
No.
No, fish fingers are good, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm not, you know.
Nah, man, fish fingers good.
Oh, God, we're doing this again. That's what every fish finger fan ever.
Yeah.
There's something about it. Well, it's, you know, the mushy texture isn't ideal for this.
The fish, the fishy taste.
Let's be honest. If you think about them, they're gross. I'm not saying.
Yeah.
I know they're nice.
Well, they're like chicken nuggets, but for fish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why would you order the fish fillet at McDonald's?
No,
why
never.
Don't we call it a fish fillet as well?
Yeah. But who's ordering the fish fillet?
People.
It's weird, isn't
Peeps.
It?
Well,
do you know, did you know something about Matt? Matt, our housemate, Matt, ate a meal deal in the cinema.
I did that. Not that
did
long
you?
Ago. Yeah. Sorry. What's crazy?
I don't think you should be eating meal deals in the cinema.
I had a chicken Caesar sandwich with Chris in the cinema when I went to go and see something with Martha.
I don't know. It makes you feel uncomfortable.
Civil War. I had a Caesar sandwich baguette from Marks and Spencer's because it's near the cinema.
Okay.
Now, what's your point? You don't think you want us to stuff our face with minstrels and popcorn? Why don't we just liquefy fat and shove it down our gullets?
I guess so. I guess it's almost too casual on the run. It's
certainly a park bench meal, but that doesn't mean it can't also be enjoyed down the cinema.
I don't know. I guess there's something almost disrespectful about it. I don't know.
I get it. Yeah, well,
it feels like, do you live there now?
I think.
Do you know what I mean?
It's one step away from microwaving beans. I appreciate that. Nonetheless,
do you live at the cinema?
Yeah.
No. I just. Oh.
No.
I'm sorry. I mistook it because you seem to.
Because you seem
like
to be having a three course meal for this film. The only thing. I appreciate the sentiment.
Thank you.
However,
it
wrong.
Okay.
The cinema has forfeited their right to be picky about what we eat in there because of the prices that they charge for things.
And do you
if
know
there
what?
Were reasonable prices, fair. They're not. Fuck it.
Do you think the prices should be more reasonable?
I've never been asked that question before.
Because I used to always... So there's a big thing you complain about. It's like, £8
for a Twizzler?
You know, that was every time I said, this is bloody ridiculous.
I want some sauce.
But what... Who's this guy?
I don't know. He's the sauce man. More sauce, please. What? Give me some sauce.
He was so distressed.
I want some salt.
Although he's got really dry hot dogs.
It's also like, we were talking about how expensive it was. So this guy,
he just wants salt. Well, no, he can't.
He has a different gripe.
Okay, this is irrelevant to bring to it into it. He's bought a hot dog and ketchup's £2.
Oh, I see.
There you go. It's a stretch, certainly.
Oh, I want some sauce.
You can buy some. There's sauce. No sauce. Yeah, he's confused about what everyone's upset about. In our class action lawsuit. Again.
Well, we're having an intelligent conversation about the prices.
Anyway.
And I did complain about that. But if you think about it, I think cinema tickets in general are remarkably cheap.
Have you got O2?
No, I need to. Is it like Orange Wednesdays?
I'm getting £4. Yeah. Well, basically, generally. Yeah. I'm getting £4.50 cinema tickets every week.
And that's happening regularly, and I think that's great.
O2 are fronting that a bit, though. Because, like, you know, it's nine quid is rough cinema ticket. Average, 10 quid.
With the half price cinema tickets, what's the fronting?
O2 is through O2 Priority. So O2 will have a deal with Vue.
Yes.
But, like, so O2 will pay some of it. And Vue, to be honest, I don't know how that works.
So
but
Because I do think cinema, everything's getting ridiculously expensive. Cinema's stayed pretty solid, right?
Cinema's, there wasn't, like, a crisis. Although in COVID...
No, it was going up, and then there was a change with Vue, because Vue was going up to, like, £10, £12. And then they realised, they flipped their business model. Make it really cheap, really affordable. You kill them on the snacks. So,
but people...
And I support cinema... Right?
You support...
Unlike you,
I'm
cinema.
I'm more of a theatre man.
No, you like the doggies.
No, I like the doggies. What's a doggie?
You're going to the dog race. I don't know.
The doggies? Yes. No, I'm a racist man.
Sorry, just you like going down to the greyhound
track.
Yeah,
I'm more into like air shows.
But it's the only way that cinemas stay... afloat. And because people go to the cinema quite rarely, because we go quite regularly, but for most people they go rarely, and when they go,
they'll treat themselves.
It's like, if I'm going, I might as well get everything.
Give me some bag of minstrels, I'll take a Twizzler. Sauce, please. Make sure it's all got sauce in.
So that's where this guy
comes in. This guy comes in. Yeah. Don't forget the sauce, Dave. Sauce is such a horrible thing to purchase at a cinema as well. You might get like syrup or something, but sauce. What are you putting sauce on? The hot dog.
Don't forget the sauce.
Don't forget the sauce, Dave. It's a good name for an album.
But I guess that's where, and so I'm happy to sneak in snacks.
Yeah.
Or occasionally actually sometimes pay for hot popcorn. Because it is expensive, but... And they do cunt you, but there is a...
That was such an unnecessary cunt.
But there is something special about a hot bag of cinema popcorn that you can actually not recreate.
So the thing, agreed. I would like...
And sometimes you treat yourself and say, come on.
Yeah.
It's Tom Cruise. He's doing backflips. The least I could do is spend £8 on a popcorn.
Now, I understand. I agree. I would
and
like...
a super soda.
Super soda!
Was it Japanese?
I think a bit. Unfortunately,
that's
yeah.
That's not what I was going for.
No, I know.
I was going for like a big gulp American.
I just want to say something else. I just want to say a different thing, which now I've forgotten. No, I agree. Yeah. I would like quickly for a man to, like the head of Vue, to be here for 10 seconds.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great, actually.
I'd be like, oh, that should be a really good... Anyway,
fascinating, interesting.
But maybe for more than 10 seconds.
I'm trying to say fascinating... A conversation.
I said
fascinating, interesting. Uh-huh. It would be fascinating, interesting.
Fascinating, interesting. I would like to ask him how much of your business or your revenue.
Yeah.
Did I say he? Wow.
You said he. Yeah.
That's rude. Well, yeah, I know that the head of you is a man.
I don't. I
here
think,
we go. Bets on.
I think it's a transgender woman.
CEO of Vue Cinemas.
I think it's a transgender woman with dyslexia.
Timothy Richards. Sounds
damn!
Sounds pretty white guy to me.
Damn.
Since 1999, no less, Tim's been in the job. We could get him on the pod.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to ask him how much of your revenue or your, like, how much do you depend on snacks? Because I don't know if that's true or not.
I think they make more money on snacks than the
Yeah, I know,
film.
But I think the moon is
hand
round.
Hand over foot.
No, just because you believe it more passionately doesn't make it any more
valid. It's venues. It's the same with comedy. Comedy makes all their money on drinks.
Yeah,
it's
but
all venue.
Yeah, but alcohol at a bar at a comedy event is hell of a lot different to minstrels when I'm watching Tom Cruise.
You're spending £5 on a pint. You're spending £5 on a bag of popcorn.
No, but a comedy.
And then it's a mega combo meal, £12.
Comedy, two drinks minimum at times. Like, that's a tenner. Like, yeah. I get it. But
I reckon they make all their money. Also, they're not
all their money.
They're not splitting that with the film maker.
Yeah.
Or the production companies.
Or do you, how do they buy the film? And then do they buy the rights to the film, or do you split the quantity of sales?
No, I think there's a mixture of both, but I think they'd get a cut of the sales. They'd have to give some of the sales back.
But it's not if you buy the film.
And they spend a lot of money on that film.
But no, they have to, because then it has to be a cut of the sales, because then films wouldn't flop because someone would just buy it and it doesn't matter. Yeah. So they would get a cut of the sales.
And no one's getting a cut of that hot dog money.
No.
Well, and the markup.
Other than the sausage company.
And think about the markup on those snacks.
Yeah.
Hot popcorn's the cheapest thing to make in
the world. Stop saying hot popcorn. Say popcorn like a fucking normal person.
Because it's hot.
It sounds like you're saying hot pot corn. I don't want a hot pot with corn in. It's like a fucking bowl of Bovril. But I'd ask him that. Yeah. And look, sure, that's what I'd get.
Yeah.
I think eating a meal in
the cinema is embarrassing.
Look, true.
And like nachos, I think eating nachos is really embarrassing.
I had a hot dog once.
Yeah, and I've had one as well.
A hot dog is more embarrassing than a nacho.
No, because a nacho, it's like a gooey, cheesy thing, and you got a platter.
The gooey content has nothing to do
with
it.
It's just a bit fucking slutty. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's like a share. Nachos presumes sharing with a pal for a fun time. You only have nachos in a good time. Hot dogs can be sad, and they're lonely, and they look like a penis.
For some reason, I guess eating meat in the dark,
there you go,
is sad.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
Look, all of these,
because eating like Maltesers or popcorn or sweets,
it's
like
fun size bag.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's sort of like,
oh. It's not like you,
yeah,
you've got to hold it and then re-put it to your mouth.
It's just more like, you know.
I agree entirely with the sentiment. The thing is, the prices are obscene, and I go regularly enough. I have a meal before I go to the cinema or after it. I don't like plan my dinner around, oh, when's the cinema going? I better heat up my broccoli.
Whereas I can only eat meals in front of the cinema.
In front of the cinema. It's very expensive.
Like a TV dinner, one of those 70s. Yeah, like,
got to rewatch the same films. There's not enough films coming out. When I go to the cinema, I will treat myself, but I will. I'm not getting minstrels anymore because I'm not a fucking child.
Sure.
I don't.
But you don't have a sweet tooth either.
But moments ago, I went and got myself a chocky bar.
Okay.
I like chocolate.
Can I hear your second gripe?
And the other thing is popcorn, I don't really understand.
Is this your second gripe?
No.
Oh.
I just want to finish this off.
Sorry.
Popcorn, I don't really get it.
I love popcorn.
I don't get it.
I get it entirely.
I think it's just addictive with no substance to it. It's a bit like smoking a cigarette.
Well, so I was talking about this with Matt yesterday, actually. It is weird that it's like the loudest food. I think this is Michael McIntyre a bit. The loudest foods in the cinema. It does seem crazy. And Matt was complaining.
The rustling or the
chewing. Yeah, Matt said he had two guys with nachos behind him and it was hell.
Nachos is worse.
It's crunch and squelch.
Well, and packet.
Packet Russell. Popcorn is the movie snack.
Yeah, of course.
But it's the loudest snack to have.
It's not the loudest.
It's a pretty loud snack.
Nacho.
Right?
Is it what in the rustling or the chewing? The chewing's all right, right?
Yeah,
chewing's fine. The rustling,
I don't know. I it's crunchy.
It's not that crunchy.
I'd say it's pretty crunchy.
Yeah,
I love popcorn, and it is the perfect film snack for a reason.
Yeah.
It's because of the endlessness of it. It is sort of, you keep a consistency of experience.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's sort of simple. It's salty. It's got a little bit of that corn
it's
nuttiness to it.
It's post-capital as hell.
I don't think it's
It's like the favourite thing about it it doesn't end.
Yeah, it's like Wall-E. It's like
it's fat people. It's just enough flavour, i.e. salt and butter or sweet.
Sugar. Yeah, salt and sugar. Mix and match.
On top of what's essentially nothing that you can keep shoveling into your mouth for the duration of 2 hours when you're staring at a screen.
100%.
It's horrible. And once I have some popcorn, I will keep eating it because it's just addictive. But it's nothing other than addictive.
I disagree. I would like to hear what people's thoughts on popcorn are, because I actually think it's one of the perfect things.
Comments.
It's also pretty low cow and
is
like
it?
Yeah, it's
a
not,
bucket of corn.
I mean, because you can eat so much of it, I guess when you eat that much,
how much calories?
I guess because it's covered in sugar.
It's covered in sugar and salt.
Yeah,
how many calories in a big bucket of popcorn?
This is our producer is Siri.
I don't get it. Well, he's awful at it. Forget it.
It's terrible.
It.
Let's hear your second.
The
gripe.
Second gripe, I've forgotten.
You've forgotten your second
no,
gripe.
No, what was the second gripe? No, it was boring. And just quickly, did I guess that got in the room?
Was this your tidbit?
No, tidbit's a different bit. The second gripe is that I don't think bikes should be allowed on the canal.
Yep.
Agreed. Yeah, we can move on from agreed. That. Like, you can't fit. If two of you can't fit going either way, what are you doing on the canal?
And also, the likelihood of you falling in the canal is so high
triples.
That it gives me so much anxiety because I'm going to get blamed when I cunt you into the canal.
Exactly. And I'm doing it just out of panic. I'm like,
I'm not at risk of falling into the canal in the same way you are.
Yeah.
And I feel you're putting that risk onto me.
Exactly. Bikes shouldn't be allowed in the canal.
Yeah, I would be much more confident cunting bikes off if it was an alleyway. Do you know what I mean?
Now, that's an interesting take.
Because the idea of them going into canal, that's my day.
That's your daily...
Well, I mean, that's just that takes a big part of my day. If I push someone into... If I accidentally knocked a cyclist into a canal...
There's forms to fill out.
It's a big deal.
You're not just leaving the scene of the crime on that one. If you accidentally knock someone in an alleyway, that's a sorry, mate.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
You're like,
a canal is covered in algae.
They could have a laptop on their back.
Yeah, it's absolute... Nightmare.
And they don't fit on there.
Yeah.
I was on it the other day and I was like, you can't... This shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
The tidbit, because we can... This is like whistle stop tour podcasting. Yeah. The tidbit is that there was...
We spent half an hour on Instant Moist.
Well, how do we get to the cinema? Was that from the... How do we get to...
Anyway,
the tidbit, a fun, quick anecdote from the election. There was a recent election for the London mayor and many other mayors around the United Kingdom, as well as some council members.
Which both me and Andrew went to vote
Horatio
together.
And I went to
we
vote.
We exercised our democratic rights.
I did it in sliders and trackies, which I felt was a bit contradictory for the centuries of, you know, fighting for the right to vote. I felt like I was pooing all over it.
Or arguably not.
Arguably, that's exactly what it should be.
Well, it's interesting. Should you dress up to go vote because it's a dignified civic experience? Or should it be, even if you're covered in yoghurt and butter?
Exactly. Even the bean-covered trackie, man. Even he's allowed to vote.
Exactly. I don't know what... Maybe it's more of a statement.
Maybe it's just more that it's embarrassing for the other people who are there. Just like, what, this guy's allowed to vote?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. But then, you know, that's part of suffrage, isn't it?
Yeah. Even the bean-laden... the bean-laden, track-suited, slider, sad boys, last of all. But a fun tidbit from it was that, so Boris Johnson was denied voting. He went to the polls to vote and he was denied because he didn't have his ID.
Oh, that's a bit of fun.
A law which he created.
That's a bit of fun.
That's a tidbit.
That is a tidbit.
That's the end of it.
What is a tidbit mean?
What does a tidbit mean?
A bit of tit?
A slice of tight? A slice of teat?
Is it more like side boob?
Yes.
Is it sort of that?
I think it's more underboob.
So it's more like, a sexy lady has a revealing dress.
Yeah.
And part of it is maybe...
Now we're talking.
The allure of the underboob or the side boob, which sort of has a come hither quality, sort of implies the rest of the breast.
Right. So it's a bit like...
It's not the whole story.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end.
It's not a whole tit.
Well, the beginning, middle, and the end would be a whole tit.
Annoyingly, this makes sense, but it can't be true.
And then it's only just a bit of tit.
A bit of tit. Annoyingly, that kind of makes exact sense.
And we go back to
Siri. Our producer. What does titbit mean? I don't know why I bother with... Oh, here we go. A small piece of tasty food. When you're out with your puppy, always have a titbit in your pocket. For the puppy, I presume, not for you. A small or particularly interesting item of gossip or information. I suppose we need...
What's the etymology?
I suppose we need etymology. Jesus
What's
Christ.
What's the etymology of titbit?
Titbit etymology. Oh, okay, it came from 17th century, mid-17th century, from dialect tid, tender, of unknown origin.
Unknown origin?
Well, I know. What's the difference between a titbit and a tidbit?
Oh, shit.
There's two. The word tid... it's quite important to get that bit right, isn't it? The word... Because there's so... The B's and the D's are next to each other and then swap, so I can't... I've gone dyslexic. Tid. The word tidbit can also mean a bit of gossipy information. And you may... That's telling us nothing. Tender. It comes from fond or tender. Tidbit or tidbit in the UK comes from a dialect called tid, fond or tender.
I like my version of it better.
I think it's better. A flash of boob, a crash of light.
A flash of boob,
a crash of light. The golden.
Should we talk about the Met Gala?
Yeah.
Would you want to talk about celebrities? Because you were fucking whinging about...
You can't... You're not allowed to say what I was doing in the kitchen on this. That's against the code of ethics.
No, let's talk about celebs. The Met Gala.
The Met Gala.
All
of the stars out in force. My, aren't they radiant?
Yeah. Well, we talk about the Met Gala every year, so I felt like it was important to discuss it again this year.
Any highlights?
Well, I didn't get to catch too much gossip. Nothing crazy happened. I guess I saw the outfits. That was the main thing.
Yeah.
Who was looking sexy, who was not bringing it. And it's, again, do you... you have to bring it at the Met Gala, right?
Yeah. Well, we discussed
because some people don't. There's people who turn up in black tie, and what are you thinking about that?
That's when no, that doesn't work.
But I guess do you like the Met Gala?
Do I like the Met? Do I?
Yeah.
No.
So you don't like the Met Gala.
So if I was invited,
no, hold up.
Yeah.
Let me finish. You don't like the Met Gala. Do you, but if you're going to the Met Gala, do you not like someone turning up and not wearing something crazy?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because you've got to respect anything.
Fine.
You've got to respect something, otherwise it's nothing.
So I guess it's like if you're
going to... Because if the Met Gala was just black tie.
Yeah, so you don't like the Met Gala.
But if you're going to Met Gala, Met Gala.
Yeah, fine. Good.
That's got to be fair. Do you agree?
I do agree. But I quite like the Met Gala. Because it's like, why not?
I guess why not?
It's just like...
I don't like how it's discussed.
It's gawping.
It is gawping.
Yeah.
At the latest.
It's gawpcore. No, it's not gawpcore. Do you know what gawpcore is?
No.
It's where you dress in like waterproof clothes, but in like an edgy way. Like, you know, there's Actresque. What's that brand?
Asics?
The A-C-T-P-R-E-X. You know, and like trendy
Mountain
people.
Warehouse?
But trendy.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what gawpcore is. Anyway.
Yeah, there were some waterproof trousers on offer at the place where I was at.
The Met Gala this year, 2024. I quite like it because I just, and it's interesting because a lot of people were commenting, I don't know, and sort of bringing up what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in Rafah.
The celebrities?
On Instagram comments. And then there was like a lot of edited clips between the chaos and the hell that's happening in Gaza.
And Barry Keane wearing a hat.
Yeah, and that is an interesting debate, I think.
Yeah. You're saying if one happens, we can't have the other.
Yeah, that's what it's
been.
I don't know.
Why don't we just say that for anything?
But then we'd never have anything.
Exactly.
Because there's always something going on.
It's incredibly selective.
Do you
and
know
it's
what
also
I mean?
Like, why the Met Gala versus like the Oscars or like even me going to watch a film?
What, they're going to edit together?
Well, why can't... Yeah,
well,
like,
you
what?
Well,
no, because it, imagine
you going
me.
To watch a film is more tragic than what's happening in Gaza. Because
by myself.
Eating a meal deal.
On a Saturday night.
People are going to be sending money back.
Chicken and bacon sandwich, yeah. They'll be like, Jesus, the people from... yeah, sending money back. No, but you know what I mean? If you get the right image of me eating stuff in my face with popcorn whilst watching, like, an action movie, and I'll be like, "What? Do you know what's going on in Gaza? Like, why is it... Why is the Met Gala the bad thing?
Yeah.
Because it's a frivolous display of wealth.
I guess it's like...
Is it we could have put the money from the Met Gala to that? Because that would make more sense if there's money involved. But it seems like the frivolity
Do you think we should have put the Met Gala money towards Gaza? Because then that does open once again. It opens a can of worms.
There will never be a Met Gala.
There will never be a Met Gala, but then it'll always be like... It comes back to our charity argument.
Well,
it's actually... Let's get some philosophy in Peter Singer's idea of the drowned man, drowning child, which is if you saw a kid drowning in a lake and you had expensive shoes on, you would dive in to save that kid and would ruin your shoes, right?
Yeah.
But if you heard about a dying kid, you wouldn't use the money that you'd spent on that shoes to help that dying kid. He said it better than me. He's a hardcore utilitarian, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it's that sort of concept. But then it basically means...
If I heard about a kid drowning, I don't think that works. I'm sure it might be in the delivery.
So you got a choice between spending...
Yeah.
You know, and you bought
the
some,
money, but I don't
you
think
recently
that's
bought some shoes.
Yeah? I did. And they're quite frankly ridiculous.
Yeah, but how much money do you spend on them if you don't want to ask?
150.
Now there's a kids in Africa with that money who you could probably feed a family for like 8 weeks. Now, if you're wearing that those shoes, right, and you saw that same family, starving children in Africa, drowning in a lake, and you didn't have time to take your shoes off, you would probably dive in and ruin the shoes.
A couple of thoughts. Diving in doesn't... You might have the option to take your shoes off.
You don't.
My shoes are loafers. I recently bought loafers.
Okay.
So how are you working that one out, Singer? No. I know, obviously, that's a rep.
No, I guess that... The loafer paradox.
Yeah. It's like... this kind of new maverick utilitarian mind, Andrew Kerwin,
but
is
what
like...
about loafers?
What about loafers,
I
Singer?
Didn't think about loafers.
Loafers! So, anyway, obviously that doesn't make sense. But hold on.
Yeah.
So the question is, if I would I would obviously dive into work because that's immediately in front of me.
Mm.
I can, by an action, immediately save someone's life.
Mm.
If I'm then, so then via charity, theoretically, I can save someone's life via the price of the shoes. However, it's not something that's guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's not as immediate, therefore it's removed from you.
What if you knew it was guaranteed?
If I knew it was guaranteed.
That you'd send that money that you spent frivolously on those shoes.
So, well, that's a different, If I knew it was guaranteed, which I presume he's
saying.
But
it's completely removed.
But then if someone came up to me on this, well, if I knew.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that there would always be something else, and then it would be eventually like, I'll stop buying butter.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't know why I keep using butter.
I mean, I guess the Met Gala's at the top of that. It logically ends up with, like, I could stop buying butter.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point, I guess, where...
Where does frivolity stop?
Well, they'd have more butter than you.
Yeah.
And that feels a bit...
Maybe they shouldn't have more butter than me. I say that for most things.
I feel that undermines charity.
Where do we
eventually have more butter than you?
Yeah.
That's sort of not the point of charity.
It's where do we draw the line of frivolity, really?
Yes.
Because 100% the loafers which I purchased are the definition of frivolous.
Sure.
But then, well, they're close. Yeah, no, they are, I guess.
I guess, but the loafers,
I only do clothes shopping like twice a year.
In many ways, the loafers are your Met Gala. So it is sort of that top end of
and
like
frivolity. And then I think I would say, why didn't you go towards like Post Malone instead of me?
Exactly.
I've just bought some fucking loafers. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
No, I suppose the money argument, yeah, but right, yeah, I don't
know. It is an interesting, I don't know,
but then
with
also
those sort of questions. And it's like people like talk about, I guess it's the super rich and it's sort of a kind of a sickening display of elitism and wealth.
Yeah.
But then once again, it's like you can get rid of these things, but it's either you get rid of the super rich entirely with the biggest change in wealth standards has ever seen ever.
Yeah.
Probably a bloodthirsty revolution.
Mm.
Or they hide it.
Yeah.
And what do you want?
Yeah, you probably
you do
want
it sort of like
surface,
how German billionaires do it, where they're kind of hidden.
There's also a problem with the application of, so let's say we put all the money that was spent at the Met or on the Met towards the crisis in Palestine.
Yeah.
That which side you putting on?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who don't think you should give it to Palestine.
Exactly.
Is that there's a lot of people who went to the Met Gala who would say that you should give it to Israel.
Yeah.
It's not exactly perfect, is it? I guess you could do just humanitarian aid on both sides. It'd be kind of weird if you're funding either Hamas or the Israeli
state. But I guess maybe because it's undeniably a tragedy no matter what side you're on. So
you could do it to relief efforts for both sides, maybe.
Yeah.
But then, well, just relief efforts in Palestine.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like...
We can't end the podcast
we're not going to.
We're going to have to dig ourselves out of this one.
No, we're going to have to look at the outfits. We're going to rate the outfits.
Okay. Let's say what it makes
I like the Met Gala. I do think it's people complain about it, but they like to complain about it.
Yeah.
And it's you want rich, successful people doing this as opposed to doing it hidden? Do you know what I mean?
That's my problem is the smugness of it all.
Yeah, fine.
My problem is like you see people going wearing a peacock hat and it's like they think they're a bit too sick. Too sick.
Too sick with it.
Too sick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the... I don't like their faces. I don't like when people pose for photographs.
What facial expression would you have at the Met Gala? So you goof fully. What are you wearing again? We did discuss this last year.
It's going to change for this year because oddly the things that we were saying were ridiculous this year are kind of in fashion now.
What? What did we
three
say?
Quarter,
what,
three
what was
quarter.
I wearing last year? I was peacocking.
Maybe you were doing...
With Kylie Jenner.
Yeah, maybe you were doing like a zip up.
No, was I dressed as like a fruit? Or like...
You were dressed as a fruit.
But it was more...
Like a kumquat, tangerine.
Yeah. Or was it like... It was like a conversation starter where people ask where the other part of you is. And that never turned off.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was. Maybe like you're half a melon.
Half a melon?
Yeah.
How does that cost you?
I don't know. What would you wear this year, do you reckon? Like, because you're not going to wear black tie, are you? You're not just going to go
boring.
What
was the theme?
The theme was...
Oh, it was Garden of Time.
Was it?
Yeah.
Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening.
That's not what the theme was.
This year's exhibition.
That's not what the theme was. The theme was Garden of Time.
Okay, fine. No, it's it's a Sleeping Beauty theme. Oh yeah, the Garden of Time. Yeah,
Garden of Time.
Yeah,
I'd go with a massive bush and put a clock in it.
What's the rest of the outfit?
Birthday suit.
What's a birthday suit again?
Naked.
Is that what a birthday suit is? Just naked.
Naked, yeah. I kind of do hate that expression. I'll just say naked. Yeah, birthday suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so I always thought, like, why? Because before I knew what it meant, I was like, well, you ain't on your birthday.
Naked men is, you haven't seen that in the Met Gala.
No, but so, and bum out. So you know that massive.
Bum out.
You know that massive afro wig we have?
Yeah.
That glued on. And in it, the question I'd ask my stylist was like, should I do lots of little, like, pocket watches or just one big clock in the middle? Got enough time.
I come with you.
Yeah.
I'm wearing the inverse. So I'm having, it's all the same bush all over me. I'm like, I look like the
clocks out.
And I got clocks and bush. And then I've got just, and what it's actually done is just highlighted my cock and balls.
Yeah. And who's more naked?
Who's more naked? Do you know what I mean?
The answer's you.
I'm more naked.
And that is a good statement. That's a fashion statement.
It's interesting.
That would be iconic. That would be Trey Parker and Matt Stone at the Oscars or whatever they did. Do you remember when they were dressed as ladies?
You could do quite a funny synchronized routine as well. Yeah. Like hiding the cock, you know?
Well, the pictures would be great. Me covering my bum, you covering your penis. And then like, oh, what's the time kind of thing?
There's 138 outfits to get through.
The only problem with this is how we, like, you're
people
not,
can
you're
look up at Jennifer Lopez.
They're not going to look it up.
What do you think of Zendaya's outfit?
Shit, that's a peacock, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Out of 10. Out of 10?
Yeah.
Am I going to sincerely rating these?
Yeah.
8.
Well, I think it's an 8. I think it's a nice outfit. I think she looks gorgeous.
Who's that?
Sienna Miller.
Sienna Miller's similarly is hotter than that. Oh no, there
she's older. It's called time.
No. Sienna Miller doesn't age. She is one of the most gorgeous women on the planet. 7.
So wait, for Met Gala, I'm going to give her a 6.5. She could have tried better. What do you think, Gigi Hadid?
Oh, I like that actually.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm giving that a 9. I like the black accents. What are we doing?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well, she is a queen, of course. Yeah. So she's always going to be bumped up by 2 regardless. But I think
I don't think this is a great outfit.
I think it's an 8 because originally it's a 6.
I would say it's a 6.
I like the hat. FKA Twigs, that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'd give that an 8. FKA
7,
Twigs.
Yep. I'm not giving that much. Where are the dance shorts?
Right, we're going to do 3 more.
Yeah.
Greta Lee, I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah, you
is
did.
That in past lives?
Yeah.
Greta Lee in. Well, Liwui.
She's kind of gone for our theme there.
I don't know if I love the shape, but I think it's very flattering.
I think that's an 8.
I give that a 7. Kim K, don't like the top. It looks like a Primark cardigan.
I have a cardigan that I wear now that everyone says, well, not everyone. One of our friends,
TMZ.
The friend who keeps saying that I look like a lesbian,
yeah.
Said that it looks like I've broken out of the old people's home.
Yeah.
There's one picture because I have my hands a bit like that.
Don't know who Taylor Russell is. No. That is a nice outfit.
Sure.
I think that's damn sexy.
Yeah, that's hot.
Dua Lipa.
Oh, I don't like the expose of the crotch.
No.
That seems unnecessary.
And that's a very rare thing for you to say. You love an expose of the crotch.
Maybe I'm growing.
But when you say an expose of the crotch, you more mean like a Dispatches documentary.
Yes. Behind the woman's vagina. The dirty secrets of the vagina.
One more to see us. Cardi B. I guess it's big. I'll tell you what, a pet peeve of mine at the Met Gala.
Peeve out.
I don't think you should wear big black dresses. I do think black really loses shape, and I think you miss a trick. I just think it looks so shapeless.
Sure. I'm
giving that a
7. Yeah, no, I can see
I'm giving that 7.5 out of 10. I think
very Marge Simpson hair.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. Yeah, I think black, not for the Met Gala.
Horatio doesn't think black should be allowed in the Met Gala. Thank you, everyone. That's been a wonderful...
It's just my opinion.
Just his opinion.
Me.
It's not the opinion of the podcast. See you next week.